Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. And the words, of course, of that verse are very familiar to us, but it'll do us no harm to read them again and indeed think about them again, and by the grace of God act upon them as he helps us. Solomon the Wise writes this in Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God's precious word, the Bible, was written for the sacred purpose of showing us the way to heaven and guiding us on our pathway through this life to Emmanuel's land above. And yet, even though the Bible deals with eternal things, God also gives his attention to the present, and God is concerned with our happiness even in this present state. And so for this reason, throughout the Bible, God has filled his word with practical wisdom that you and I can take to heart and apply to temporal affairs as well as to spiritual affairs. Nowhere is this practical wisdom of God more manifest than in the book of Proverbs. The penman of the book is Solomon, who God had richly endowed with holy knowledge and understanding. And yet, while Solomon the Wise is the penman of these words, the author is no less a person than God himself. For we read in the Bible that those that gave us the Bible, through whom the Bible came, that they were carried along, they were guided by God the Holy Ghost. The scripture, the Bible says, came not in old time by man's will, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So these words are more than just human wisdom. These words are divine wisdom, which we're reading here this evening. And so Proverbs, as a book, has been rightly described as words from heaven for life upon earth. And of course, being practical, the book of Proverbs, every chapter, and this chapter indeed, address some very important themes and subjects. If you read through chapter 27 as a whole, you'll discover that it deals with many things. It talks about our relationships with others, our dealings with our friends, our understanding of our enemies, our relationships with our parents, our children, with people of the same sex, with people of the opposite sex, and it deals with business matters as well as matters of the soul and matters of the spirit. This chapter, as a case in point, shows us how to recognize those who are for us and how to deal with those who are against us. It shows us what our responsibilities are to those who have encouraged us. It's a portion of scripture which reveals good reason why children should obey their parents. It's a portion of Holy Writ which teaches us foresight. It teaches us who we are to avoid and who we are to company with. It shows that even the godly cannot afford to treat temporal concerns lightly. So this is a chapter in the middle of a great book that is full of practical wisdom. Just listen to some of these words from Proverbs 27. It says, for instance, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Then it goes on to tell us, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. And then it tells us, my son, be wise and make my heart glad. A prudent man, says Solomon, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. And then it goes on to add these words, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, for riches are not forever. So in every sentence of this chapter, there is very good, deep, timely and practical wisdom. Oh, that all of us would take it to heart, that God would help us to take it to heart, that God would help us to understand and indeed to obey these words from heaven for life upon earth. But tonight, for a few moments, we're going to concentrate just on one verse of the chapter, and that, of course, is the first verse. And I want you to think, as you look at chapter 27, verse 1, about three simple truths. I want you to see, first of all, in that verse, appointed ruling. God here is speaking, God is revealing His mind to us about something that's very, very important. And He tells us very clearly, boast not thyself of tomorrow. I think at the beginning of a new year, those are especially timely words. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Now, of course, in all of us, and in every natural man, there's the inclination to boast in something. And of course, there is a boasting, I suppose, and a glorying which we could call good. Christians, they love the Lord Jesus because He first loved them. Those people in this world who have apprehended by faith their saving interest in Christ crucified, they are people that can boast of Him. And yet, strange to relate, that boasting is a good boasting. There's no pride in that boasting. Man is not magnified by it. God is magnified by it. And Paul addresses this when he writes in the New Testament these lovely words in the book of Galatians. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle used to be Saul of Tarsus, a wicked man, a man who breathed out threatenings and slaughters against the church, violent, cruel, vicious against Christians. But he became a Christian himself when he met the resurrected Christ on the Damascus Road. And you know, something happened in his life that day. Something which changed him radically. Something which caused him to abandon every other confidence that he had. He used to trust in religion. He used to boast about what he was by birth. He was a proud Jew. He belonged to the straitest sect of his religion, the Pharisees. He was up to his neck and over his head in religion. But at the same time, all these things were nothing to him when he got converted. And he said this, God forbid that I should boast, that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a boasting which is good. But of course, this verse addresses itself to a boasting which is not good. And because man is in the state that he's in, because of our natural inclination to do things that we shouldn't do and think things that we shouldn't think, there is that tendency to a sinful boasting that's presented in this text. Boast not, says Solomon, thyself of tomorrow. Boast not thyself, he says, of tomorrow. Man's self, in his fallen and sinful condition, is really the centre of man's affections and man's motions. And one of the things that results from man's nature is a willingness, or rather a readiness, to presume upon things that are not his. Men presume upon things, belongings that are not theirs. Men presume upon a time which is not theirs. And that's the very thing which this verse cautions us against. That's the very thing which God has ruled against. That's the very thing which God has exhorted us to avoid and shun like the plague. He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. So we have a pointed ruling in verse 1. The second thing you've got in this verse is a particular reasoning. We know what the command means. We know that God doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan for tomorrow. Of course we should plan for tomorrow. We shouldn't look at the future carelessly or in that loose fashion. We've got to plan. We've got to plan ahead and in advance. So we know that the command is not against planning but against presuming upon tomorrow. And we have every good reason, if we really think about it, not to do that. Why is it that we should avoid this thing which is so common to man? Sure, everybody does it. Why is it such a serious thing? Why does God rule against it? Where's the reasoning behind it? Why is it that we shouldn't boast about tomorrow and presume upon time which is not ours? Well, the first reason is this, that boasting about tomorrow is really no less than a sin. Our whole attitude to time is something which touches upon our relationship with our Maker. The present is something that belongs to God, and indeed the future is something that belongs to God. Not only does He possess the exclusive control of what shall be in 100 years to come, He possesses exclusive control about what shall be tomorrow, and even the very next hour, and the very next minute, and indeed the very next second and moment that we live. It's all under God's control and in God's ownership. Only God Almighty knows what shall come to pass. And so to boast about tomorrow is a foolish and sinful thing. To boast about tomorrow, to presume upon time which is not ours and cut God out of the equation, is really to deny God control of our life and to presume without reason that he will aid us in all our plans. And so God calls us to reason against this and crime of boastfulness, because it is a sin. It robs God of his prerogative and his control of time. It's not only a sin, but it's a common sin, of course. Perhaps we don't mean to do it. Perhaps even the Christian may not realise at times that he's doing it. But all of us, at some time or another, or to a greater or lesser degree, all of us have boasted and presumed upon things. Somebody said this: we all dispose of our days and our months and our years even long before they come into our possession. And so the young hope, maybe even count upon living to an old age. The middle-aged, in good health, count upon reaching maturity. And the old hope that they will be added to the number of extraordinary cases of longevity. I said a moment or two ago that it's very necessary and right to forecast and to plan things to a certain extent. What the text warns us against is that certainty in relation to the future, which means that we leave God out of our plans. As if you and I, who are so limited in our knowledge, so limited in our resources, can do without the God in whose hand our breath is, the God to whom we owe every moment that we live, and to whom we owe every part of our being and existence. We reason against the sin of boastfulness because it is a sin. We reason against the sin of boastfulness because it is a folly. Stop and think about this for a moment or two in a practical way. No man is really a prophet, you know. And at the best, all we can do is calculate probabilities. The most healthy man, therefore, may fall ill suddenly. The most prosperous man in business may find that his business collapses because of an uncertain market. The trusted bank in which many have put confidence and faith may break in a moment. No man is a prophet, and it is a folly to presume upon tomorrow. You know something else we can say about this verse? That our complicated and changing circumstances means that it's foolish to make absolute predictions. And even though that's something that all of us know well by experience, we've all learned in a greater or lesser degree about the uncertainties of life and the instability of our circumstances, even those things are obvious. Even though the instability, uncertainty of life is obvious, how very, very few people actually take those truths to heart. And so many are willing to allow, as a general rule, that everything below is fleeting and uncertain, but in their own particular case, in their own personal case, they are anxious to find themselves as a fortunate exception to the rule. That is a foolish thing. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, because it's a folly as well as a sin. It's also a very dangerous thing. What happens to a man that boasts about tomorrow? Well, boasting about tomorrow leads to carelessness, doesn't it? Stop and think tonight about the example of Peter the Apostle. A man who, I believe, really loved the Lord and really intended to go on well with him and to be bold and courageous for him. He was certainly very forward, even above the rest of the disciples, to declare his loyalty to Jesus. You remember the instance in which he said, "Lord, even though every one of these disciples deny you, even though they all give up on you, I'll never give up on you. I'll never deny you. I'll never let you down. I'll never do anything to grieve you." And here was a man who was confident, too confident in fact, A man who, because of that confidence, was off his guard, and believing that all was well, Peter was surprised by sin. He broke his Lord's heart, and he grieved his own heart. Weakened through self-confidence, weakened through overconfidence, Peter fell into backslidings, fell into sin, even though he had been warned many times against it. My friend, it is a very dangerous thing, even as a Christian, to boast about tomorrow. But it's also a dangerous thing if you're not a Christian. Because boasting about tomorrow, if you're not a Christian, leads to shame. Do you realize that God has warned us time and time again in history, both secular history and sacred history, that he humbles and that he brings down the person that is willing, against all reasonings, against all arguments of the Holy Ghost to his conscience, willing to boast about tomorrow? Thousands of years ago, many thousands of years ago, in the early days of this world, there lived a man called Noah. Noah, a man that stuck out like a sore thumb. A man who seemed to be the only righteous man in his day and generation. Almost unique for his godliness and his testimony. But what about the age in which Noah lived? It was much different. People did their normal thing. They went about their everyday business. It wasn't just that they were, everyone without exception, given over to some peculiar wickedness. It wasn't that at all. Some were, some weren't. Some just went about their ordinary business. And the Apostle Luke says that they married wives and were given in marriage. No harm in that. But there's no mention of God and their plans. And it goes on to say that they did these things until the very day that the flood came and it took them all away. It took them all away. They boasted about tomorrow. They acted as though things were going to go on ad infinitum and there was going to be no divine intervention in the world's history. But it came, and it came at a moment that they weren't expecting it, to their eternal shame. Let me think of another man in the Old Testament, a man called Haman. Haman was a real persecutor of the Jews. If any man hated the Jews in the Old Testament history, it was this evil man called Haman. And you'll remember, children have heard the story, and we've all heard the story, I'm sure adults too, about how Haman attempted genocide against the Jews in Persia. And then one day, news of his plans came to Queen Esther. She invited him to a banquet in the presence of her husband, the king. And Haman presumed, now my moment for honour has come. He presumes on greatness. He's ready to boast about tomorrow. He says, I'm going to be promoted. I'm going to be even more important. Here, the queen wants my company, and the king wants my company. It can do nothing but spell a good and glorious future for me. And Haman, boasting about tomorrow, presumed on greatness because he was invited to the queen's banquet. But Haman didn't know what a day was going to bring forth. And his sin came back to haunt him. And the persecutor of the Jews, who would have put the Lord's people down, was hanged in the very gallows that he had built for Mordecai. Haman learned, to his eternal shame and ruin, boast not thyself of tomorrow. And then over in the New Testament, in one of our Lord's stories or parables, there's a man called, commonly called the rich fool. A man whose riches were not gained by bad measure or by bad methods. He was a man who worked hard, and a man who, because he worked hard, deserved the success that he had. No, it's not necessarily a wrong thing to be rich, and it's not necessarily the point, the case, that a man who is rich has gained his riches in a bad way. This man in the parable had worked hard. He deserved his riches and he deserved his wealth. And we should never begrudge to a person their success in business if they've worked hard. This man worked hard. But this man worked hard without giving any thought to the God who gave him the strength to work hard and the health to work hard and the power to gain money. And as he sat back in his chair one night on the Lord's parable, He was thinking to himself while he was in the full bloom of youth. Ah, he said, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Look at the success in business. I'm going to pull down my barns and I'm going to build bigger. And then I'm going to take my ease. And then I'm going to say to myself, eat, drink and be merry. I have a long life ahead of me. Maybe in future days I'll think about more solemn and serious things. He boasted about tomorrow. But tomorrow never came for that rich fool. And God had a word in his ear that night as he lay on his bed. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And the example of the rich fool teaches us the folly and the danger and the shame that results from boasting about tomorrow. The third and final thing I want you to think about is a practical response. If we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, if we can't presume upon tomorrow, if tomorrow is not as today, then there's some practical lessons that all of us need to learn tonight. The first lesson is very simple. We learn tonight that the only real time that we have here is today. Yes, not only today, but the only real time we have is this very moment, this very moment. And that very moment in which all of us live and through which all of us are passing with untold speed and haste. We're passing through it quickly and we need to make the best use of the present moments that we have. That means tonight that matters of present importance cannot be delayed to be dealt with. We cannot put off till tomorrow what ought to be dealt with today. And even if we could guarantee tomorrow, and even if we delayed dealing with urgent business until tomorrow came, then tomorrow would be so full of today's concerns and so full of its own concerns that things would never be done. You just think about this tonight. Because you can't guarantee tomorrow, you've got to get done today things that need to be done today. And that's especially true, my friend, with regard to your spiritual and eternal business and interests. And then we learn something more. The only real time we have is today. The only real time others have is today. And that means that while we have today and while they have today, Christians have got to encourage one another while the moments pass. Verse 17 of this chapter talks, in fact many verses in this chapter talk about encouragement. Many things here about friendship. Verse 6 speaks about the wounds of a friend. The words go on to speak about the faithfulness of a friend in verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. And then verse 17 talks about the encouragement that we can get from our friends. Iron sharpeneth iron, it says, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know how it is in the natural order of things. It takes iron to sharpen iron. And in the spiritual order of things, it takes a soul to sharpen a soul. It takes the company of one Christian to give to the life of his friend in Jesus Christ, his brother or sister in Jesus Christ, an extra keenness or cutting edge to his witness and testimony. I think we get a perfect illustration of that in Luke chapter 24. Story, wonderful story of Jesus coming alongside his two friends on the road to Emmaus. And they are greatly burdened. They've been talking about all the things that have happened in Jerusalem that day, in the past number of days. Jesus had died, but they hadn't seen him, and it had been 3 days, and they were wondering, is he still dead? Has he not kept his promise? They were greatly troubled. And then the Bible says, Jesus drew alongside them, and he began to talk to them. And he began to explain the Old Testament to them and the promises that related to him. And you know what happened? When they saw him and listened to him, iron sharpened iron. And when they got back to where they were going, got back to their destination, the Bible says that their hearts burned within them because Jesus had talked to them by the way. Dear Christian, the only time you have is today. And you're no different from anybody else. And the only time another Christian has is today. So while you have got today, Don't boast about tomorrow, and use the present to encourage those of like precious faith. And then we learn something more. Christians can not only learn from this important text, but those who are not Christians can learn from it as well. If we don't have any certainty about tomorrow, and if the moment in which we live is fleeting and passing and uncertain itself, then men and women need to build upon something more solid. Today's not certain. Tomorrow's not certain. We need to build our hopes for the future upon something that is more solid than what today or tomorrow can produce. And you know, God is really the only foundation upon which to build. God, the one to whom belongs our present, the very one to whom belongs our future, the one who is the creator and the ruler and overruler of time, the one who inhabits eternity, he is the only one that is absolutely sure. And you'll only be sure while your trust and your confidence is in him. Of course, it's got to be in him now, hasn't it? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. If there's one lesson you need to learn, if you've never been converted, you need to learn this lesson. You can't take for granted that God will give you tomorrow. You can't take for granted that even if he did give you tomorrow, he would speak to your heart again and make you interested in salvation. Today is the only time that he promises, and he says, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. There's a great preacher many years ago in America by the name of D.L. Moody. And D.L. Moody, of course, is a very earnest man, a very strong evangelical Christian preacher. But like anybody, D.L. Moody made his mistakes. And he recalls the following mistake in his own diary and writings. And he writes this. He said, to recall the following act, I would give my right hand. On the night when the courthouse bell of Chicago was sounding an alarm of fire, I was preaching upon the sermon, What Shall I Do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And I said the following words to the audience. I said, I want you to decide this question by next Sunday. But what a mistake that was, says Moody. For that night I saw the glare of flames, and I knew that Chicago was doomed, and I never saw that audience again. My friend, learn the lesson well tonight. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. While God gives you today and time and opportunity this evening, you make sure you put your confidence in Christ as your own and personal Savior. He's the only one that can save. He offers you mercy today and only today. And he says that him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to Christ tonight. Just come simply. It's not complicated. It's not a complicated experience. It's just coming as you are, coming as a sinner, recognizing your offenses against him, confessing them to him. You don't need to confess them to a man. Confess them to Christ. Make Jesus Christ your priest. Confess your sin to him. And you know what he says? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. He'll forget the past. He'll forgive the past. And he'll give you a glorious future in heaven. Other things you may be uncertain about, but if you're in Christ, then you can be certain of this thing, that by him, by his grace, and by his precious blood, you will get at last to the place that's fairer than day. May the Lord help you to trust him, and may God help you to call upon him while he is near.